I'd never seen the Son of God the way I see him now. I had never seen the tears of shame he cried. I have never seen the crown of thorns that they pressed upon his brow. I have never seen the blood that he applied. But I've seen it now, and it's all that I can stand. He's becoming a part of everything I am. I had always been the sort of guy to laugh my life away. I had never really tried to understand, and I had never met this King of Kings that stole my heart away. And I never touched the nail scars in his hands. But I've seen it now, and it's all that I can stand. He's becoming a part of everything I am. Yes, I see Jesus now, and it's all that I can stand. He's becoming a part of everything I am.
Thank you, Brother Paul, and Happy New Year, Church. It is good to be again in God's house this morning with each and every one of you. And for those of you who are online, we certainly wish you were here in person so we could give you a good hug this morning. Being that this is the start of a brand new year, we're given another opportunity to either make New Year plans or resolutions, as we normally call them, or choose to simply go with the flow, with the hope that this year will be better than last year. In either case, there is a plan that we will follow. You can count on it. Whatever plan you choose, though, it is helpful to review some of the past blessings we experienced here in 2022 from the plans offered to us by our leadership. Here are some examples. We were challenged last year by our pastors to go through the entire Bible in 1 year using the Bible in 1 year app. This was a great tool to help us read the Bible more. It was an encouraging experience for both Michelle and me. We certainly appreciated that. How about having regularly scheduled prayer time, 7 p.m. each Tuesday evening, here at church? Prayer is our power source. Please, we need for you to commit to join us. How about having dinner and Bible study at 6 p.m. each week to encourage fellowship and discipleship for all in attendance? The meals each week were truly delicious and satisfying. We appreciate Sandra for her blessing us with them, and Paul for getting us deeper into the Word. We're grateful for all these members. These are leaders. How about the Bible studies that we did early in the year on the sovereignty of God from the book of Habakkuk, remember? And the book on changes that heal. They spoke words of truth, mercy, and grace to many of us who participated right here at this local church. How about providing quality childcare in the nursery with people who know and love Jesus so that their parents or family members could participate in other ministries here? How about putting up that new sign that's in front of the church to advertise our ministries and times of services? That's a wonderful thing we've been hoping for years. Finally happened last year. How about the monthly bilingual service, the second Sunday of each month, by our own pastor and brother, Edwin Soto? How about that? Or when they do their car washes out there and we join in with them. How about having a monthly men's breakfast here at the church at 8 a.m., led by our brother and Pastor Paul, with food, with fellowship, short devotionals, discipleship, and tackling any project that was needed by the church at the time? How about this one? Many of you don't even realize this, but we as a church made a commitment also that every tithe and offering we receive, we were going to tithe back a portion of it into partners, local partners. And so we support our partners locally and internationally by prayer and giving to help carry out the Great Commission. There's a purpose behind it. Some of our partners included the Gideons. You all know about the Gideons when you go into that hotel and see that red Bible in the drawer. Or the Jonesboro Pregnancy Center. Or the Salvation Army. Or even the Bridge Academy in East Point, which helps kids who are given a second chance to complete their high school requirements. How about one of my favorite, the Christian radio station New Life Radio, 90.7 or 91.7, which is such a blessing to us personally. And then, as Paul mentioned also, we have our missionaries that we support. We have Tolik and Iona Deminko in Ukraine. We have Mirek Kulek in Poland and the Czech Republic. We have Gary and Donna Beach in England. And we have other ministries that we support in Ecuador. So as you can see, we are not just focused on a domestic agenda. We also look globally. These examples of blessings were designed to keep us focused on our three main points. Those of you who wonder why this church is called Three Point Bible. We exist here in this local church for these three points: loving God, loving others, making disciples. Everything we do is going to be guided by those three points. Now you know. Since we also believe in the authority of Holy Scriptures, I want to share a good example in the Old Testament of God's sovereignty and plan for his rebellious people at a crucial time in their history. We too live in a very challenging time in our history. I believe that we can learn and apply the lesson from the text to our lives as we make plans for this new year. My text is taken from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, and then 3 through 14. And I use the NIV version if you're following along. And my topic is God's plan for us in 2023. It is a letter that was written around 597 BC, the historic event when King Nebuchadnezzar took many of the leaders, or the skilled workers, the priests, the artisans, everyone from Jerusalem to Babylon. Here's the verse, here's the text this morning. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people that Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with the help of your Holy Spirit, please share and proclaim your wonderful words of life and hope from Holy Scripture, so that we may know the plans you have for us today and forever. We ask and believe it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. The context of the passage is God's message of hope to his rebellious people who are now exiled in Babylon from their homeland in Israel. God used the pagan king Nebuchadnezzar to inflict punishment on his people after they refused to keep their promises to him. Note God's sovereignty in that he takes ownership of their punishment so that they will know that it is he, God, that they have sinned against, and that they will need to repent of their sins and trust him completely. It is not against the nations that they have sinned, but against the one and only true God, the God of Israel, the creator of the universe. Until then and always, there are consequences for their sins. And in this particular instance, God said that they would be in exile for 70 years in the capital of the pagan world, Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. My focus today, however, is centered on verses 10 through 14, which gives God's plan to rescue his rebellious people, and it can be outlined as follows. First of all, there's good news. It's interesting. You're being told that you'll be in exile for 70 years. That's a long time. And yet God starts out by telling them there's going to be good news. There's good news. After 70 years in captivity, verse 10, which in 70 years in captivity, God will come back for them and he will fulfill the promises that he's made to them. He has plans for them because he loves them. It includes plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, isn't this something that we all desire? Especially as we begin this new year. Who doesn't want to prosper? Who doesn't want to have hope? Who doesn't want to have a future that you can trust God will be well, will be good for us. This is an example of God's grace where he gives us what we don't deserve because of his great love for us. You heard the songs we started this morning. God's grace, God's mercy, greater than us. The Bible tells us what? That for when sin that abound, God's grace abound even more. We don't deserve it, but he loves us anyway. And so the good news, that's the good news that God tells them. But he also gives a plan that includes prayer and repentance. Not a word we hear much these days. Repentance is not just being caught and saying, I'm sorry. It's more than that. And so when you hear in verses 12 and 13, it says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This is a great verse on what it means to repent. What it means is that we agree with God that we have sinned or missed the mark and don't deserve his mercy and his grace, nor his forgiveness. That's what it means. We're genuinely sorry and we are willing to make a change. Sinning is missing the mark. None of us in this room are online. None of us are perfect. We miss the mark many times. That's what we call sin. Not another word we hear much of today, but it is a fact of life. We also want to remember the Old Testament example of King David. You know, in his prayer given to us in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 5. And if you recall, on the occasion when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, after he, David, had committed adultery with the wife of Uriah. And then he had Uriah killed in battle intentionally and then lied about it. And so we have in the scriptures today, Psalm 51, these verses from David's heart. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. How about in the New Testament, 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The fact is that we must stop blaming others and start taking responsibility for our own thoughts and actions, our own sins. As we start the new year, this is something we have to remember. If we are truly sorry and remorseful towards God, then we can approach him and he will hear us. God will hear and answer our prayers if our heart is in the right place and if we humble ourselves before him. He requires that of us, truth and mercy and grace. The third point is that God's plan is personally guaranteed. How do I know that? Look again at verses 14 and 15. God was speaking. I will be found by you, he says, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Wow. This is God guaranteeing that this plan will come true. From recent history, we know that this was partially fulfilled in 1948 when the Jews and the state of Israel came back into existence after being scattered and hated around the world for centuries. With the exception of a growing number of Messianic Jews who believe and love Jesus, most of the people of Israel today are still waiting for Messiah to come, or they don't believe in anything. As Christians, we must continue to pray for the people of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem, as commanded in Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. If you are a Christian or believe in Christ, this is also cause for celebration, because the same God who made those promises to his people, Israel, thousands of years ago, is the same God we serve today as Gentile believers. We've been engrafted into his family. We too have received the promised blessing from God given to Abraham and the people of God throughout human history. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This very same God is the one who orchestrated the entire events of the Christmas story recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. The good news of salvation would be found in only one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came in fulfillment of many Old Testament prophecies. Emmanuel, God with us. It was he who would later identify himself to the people of Israel as the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to the Father except through him. It was he who taught his disciples, including us today, that the greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus made it clear why he came to earth: to save us from our sins. In fact, the name Jesus, first announced to Mary and Joseph, means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. He came to give us the greatest hope and future that we can't even imagine. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 2:9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. It is because of Jesus that we have nothing to fear, but everything to gain by putting our faith in him. When we do so, we can face this new year with confidence that the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. We have overcome Satan and this world because of the finished work on the cross by Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Because he, Jesus, lives, we too are made alive in Christ and sealed with the precious Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance unto the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory, according to Ephesians 1:14. We are recipients of God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, God's peace, and love, genuine love. As we surrender our lives to the Lordship of Christ on a daily basis, then the fruit of the Spirit will be made evident in our lives. That's a promise from God. The fruit that we read about in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. It is by growing in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with others around us during this new year that we will be able to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's start the year by memorizing this wonderful verse in Jeremiah 29:11. In fact, I have it on my wallet. which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." In your plans or resolutions for this new year, would you carefully consider your responses to the following two personal questions? Number one, will my plan or resolution help me grow spiritually, learning to love God more with my whole being? That's my everything, my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength, everything. Will my plan help me grow spiritually, learning to love God more with my everything? And number two, will my plan or resolution help me grow in my love for others, knowing that I cannot claim to love God? Number one, I can't claim to love God whom I have not seen, and yet hate my brother whom I do see. See, the thing is, 1 John 4:20 says that. Will my plan or resolution this year help me grow in my love, genuine love for others, knowing that I cannot claim to love God whom I haven't seen and yet hate my brother whom I do see? My brother or my sister, right? Remember that Jesus linked the two commandments into one, making it the greatest commandment. Here at this local church, we are committed to loving God, loving others, and making disciples. Come join us on the journey once more. Let us pray. Our loving God and Father, we are grateful for this brand new year you've brought us into. And yet, Father, as we've heard and seen from history and from your word especially, the promises you gave to your people Israel and to us, the world, God, because John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Father, we come again this morning to say thank you for your word. Lord, use it as you promised, God. It will not return void. Thank you, Lord, as you've spoken, that your word will go out and will make a difference in each of our lives, Lord. Help us to learn again, Father, to love you more and more and to love others, Lord. Help us to know that you have given us your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, the agent, the help we need, God, to do and destroy any works of Satan, God. And so, Father, I thank you again for your church. Thank you again for this local church, for our leaders, God. Thank you, Lord, for every member of this church, Lord, for those who have visited, for those who will be coming, dear God. And Father, we just want to again give you praise, honor, and glory, thanking you above all for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our soon coming King. Amen.